comes in and tells me what you see. And I'm a new warrior society. The Navajo Warrior Society. The whole Sioux Warrior Society. The Horse Society. And it's a long, hard road. And it's a long, hard road. And it's a long, hard road down.
I guess I should probably apologize before I start. Seems like I've caught one more of those bugs that around today. I had a little cold. I'll try to go as far as I can, and maybe I should get some water, or maybe some of that pop. I feel like I've been on a campaign running for something. I'm losing my voice. I guess we are on a campaign. We've been on a campaign now for about close to 500 years, and I'm sure it's going to continue for some time yet until we realize a measure of equality, justice, and freedom here in this land. All right. We hope that the music that you've heard here is a song of revolution, a song of liberation and freedom. From the drum that you heard earlier, the song that was sung, the prayer song, to what the young people are expressing in their art, and in their words, and in their music. I heard a man last night, I was in Chicago, the night before last, a representative of the revolutionary government of Guinea-Bissau. And I couldn't help but think of this man's words as I stood back and listened to my brothers, my Ojibwe and my Menominee brother here sing these words. That this man said, in the struggle for freedom and liberation, that the youth are always right. And we believe that very strongly, that the youth are right. They were right at the BIA in 1972, while all of you were sitting home, allowing your leader, Richard Nixon, lead you to destruction. Our people were dissecting a bureaucracy of government that has been repressive to the native people for well over 100 years. I remember on TV, many of the journalists were condemning us for our stand in the Bureau of Indian Affairs building in 1972. But it wasn't until later that every one of you finally realized that the Indian people were right. When we can see these archaic institutions of government that not only are destroying the native sovereign people of this land, but are destroying all mankind throughout the world, we recognize that we have to do something about it. And that's really what the American Indian movement is all about. I would like to share with you, first of all, and in honor and respect of the Angola people, the people who are engaged in the struggle in Mozambique, soon Rhodesia, South Africa, something I heard the other day while I was flying from San Francisco, where I've been assisting our brother Dennis Banks in fighting extradition to South Dakota, where he's facing serious charges. This was a statement made by a representative of the minority controlled white racist supremacist government of Rhodesia. And in answer to a question by a journalist who asked this leader of that white government when they were going to relinquish power to the black majority in that country, I couldn't help but remember the words that have been said for so many years about the native people in what I read in the paper, this man's answer. He said that the 6.5 million blacks of Rhodesia are incapable of managing their own affairs. I thought about that for a while, and I had to laugh in a way, because I thought, that probably a parallel to that would be General Custer standing at the Battle of the Bighorn and saying that these Indians are incapable of fighting. Another observation that I'd like to share with you, I understand that Senator Frank Church of Idaho has announced his candidacy for president. He said that the reason he could not announce his candidacy earlier was that he was busy with the FBI and CIA investigations, the Senate committee investigating the Central Intelligence Agency. But he said it with the spirit that won the West in 76, that he was entering into this campaign. I would like to share with you what we see as the spirit that won the West, because it was a spirit of treachery, theft, broken promises, lies, murder, genocide, and destruction. And it has been a history of that kind of treatment from the eastern seaboard to the west coast, from the far Yukon territories to the tip of South America. We have seen that treachery spread throughout the world to take what was once a powerful nation, which has lost its respect in the eyes of pretty much of the rest of the world. And we believe today that it's going to be the forces of freedom, the young people of this country, who are once again going to restore the real spirit to this nation. And that struggle is going to be shared by the people. It's going to be shared by the black man, the yellow man, the red man, and the white man standing side by side to bring about this kind of change that we need if we are to survive in this world. I would like to share with you, first of all, some words that have been a great influence, inspiration in my life. The words of a Shawnee holy man, a Shawnee messenger, who in 1812, in the early 1800s, into mid-1800s, traveled throughout what is called Illinois, Ohio, and the other states. When he seen what was happening to this land, when he seen what was happening to his people, this was his observation. This man traveled amongst the Ojibwa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi, the Blackfeet. He traveled amongst many nations. He talked about standing side by side as one to bring a check to the destruction of our lands and the destruction of our people. These words were spoken by a man of the Shawnee Nation, a man that we call today Tecumseh. And he had these words. He said that each year our white intruders become more greedy, exacting, demanding, and overbearing. Wants and oppression are a lot. Are we not being stripped day by day of the little that remains of our ancient liberties? Unless each nation unanimously combines to give a check to the avarice and the ambitions of the whites, they will conquer us, and disunited, we will be driven from our native lands and scattered like autumn leaves before the wind. And we can see that what Russell means, what Dennis Banks, what these young brothers are saying here in their song, they're saying that we must once again attempt to gather together the leaves of our scattered culture, of our scattered lives, of our scattered civilizations, of our scattered nations. And we must bring these nations together. But we are saying today, and it would be very easy for us also to stereotype our white brothers because we have had a history of treachery. And like the white man says today of the Indian, well, all Indians look alike, they all have high cheekbones. We would like to say it's very difficult for us to tell the good guys from the bad guys because all whites look alike, they all have low cheekbones. And it's certainly been our history in that they put their names and their words on treaties, and before the ink is even dry, they walk on their own words. I guess it would be very easy for us to stereotype the white man and say they all lie, cheat, and steal, but we won't do that because we will not allow ourselves to become racist also in our struggle. But we are saying today, and what the young people are saying, and they are correct, that we must gather the leaves of our scattered nations. Not only are we talking about Indian people, but we are talking about the black man. We are talking about the yellow man. We are talking about the white man. And we are talking about the brown man, the Chicanos, the people who are from our blood, who have our blood running in their veins. We know today, in this year of the bicentennial, we know today that in about 4 months from now, in July 4th, 1976, right here in this community that we call Philadelphia, the America, after a most massive public relations job, waving plastic flags of red, white, and blue, shouting patriotic slogans, trying to brainwash us with wagon trains, freedom trains, and other gimmicks. And for what reason? For what reason are they doing this? What reason are they saying that they have a right to celebrate a birthday party in our backyard? I ask you, what have they to celebrate? And we can see today that the reason that the American Indian Movement has been tied up in the courts now for 3 years is because of a conspiracy that originated actually many hundreds of years ago when this government set in motion a plan of total genocide through the cultural destruction, through spiritual destruction by the missionaries, to finally bring about the total ethnocide of these red people. Destroy the Indian, take the Indian from his land, and he will perish. And we then can extinguish his sovereign rights to these territories forever. We see today, starting in 1972, that conspiracy has continued. We know in 1972, when we were in the building of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, that within the Attorney General's office under John Mitchell and finally Richard Kleindienst, and in the office of President Richard Nixon, that a conspiracy did initiate to destroy the American Indian Movement. And the reason that they wanted to destroy the American Indian Movement is because, as Leonard Krodog, our brother, who is now in Lewisburg Federal Prison, he said, the red man is the evidence of the Western Hemisphere. And this government is trying to destroy the evidence. We know, and we look back, and we wonder what has happened to the sanity of America. When they allow a situation in this year of the bicentennial where Nixon, in disgrace, a criminal, a traitor to all American people, is pardoned. Before he does that, before he's kicked out of this other brother so well described, he was able to go ahead and appoint his successor. A used car is a used car, no matter what the model. So then what does Ford do? He turns around and he appoints Nelson Rockefeller to be the vice president. Once again, imposed leadership on the American people. And then he turns around and appoints Rockefeller to investigate the Central Intelligence Agency. That's like asking the cat to find out who ate the canary when the cat's got yellow feathers kicking out of his mouth. As far as we can see. So, we look back at America. We look back at this government. And we can see very little difference. We see very little difference in the massacre of Wounded Knee in 1890. We see very little difference between that massacre and the massacre of the Puerto Rican people at Ponce at the hands of the same government. We see very little difference in the massacres of Ponce and Wounded Knee and the massacre of Milan. If you think we're talking about history, that was just a little while ago. Today, now the court of Islam is going to, they're trying to free the man. I can understand also that this society has scapegoats. But the real traitors, the real butchers of Milai are the same people that were pardoned by this government. I don't know what America has to celebrate. We have said before that at the time of creation, the Great Spirit imbued in the red man of the Western Hemisphere with certain inalienable sovereign rights that cannot and must not be trampled on by anyone. And when we can look and examine the contents of that, that we can see that we are the domestic colonies. We are the repressed people of what is called the United States and what is called Canada. We are the repressed people of Central and South America. And as colonialism and its ugly head is being destroyed throughout the world, as the black man has stood and said that we will manage our own affairs, we will determine the future of our people. As the yellow man in his part of the universe has brought about the purification of their nations, we know that the red man is going to stand out of this insanity, and he's going to give some spiritual direction to these people who are walking through our part of the universe seemingly in a dream, not knowing, not understanding the destruction that they're heaping on the sacred earth, not knowing and not understanding the destruction that they are heaping upon these red people, these people we call Indians, these indigenous sovereign people. Starting in 1972, when we went to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, we presented a program, a plan, an alternative, so that we could survive in this land. And for those of you who are trying to place some kind of political label on our struggle, I would like to explain to you a little bit more what my brother Larry Redshirt here was trying to tell you about our ways, the ways of the pipe, the ways of the sacred tobacco, the drum, the spiritual relationship of our people with the earth, the spiritual relationship with our fellow man. And around that spiritual movement is built a political ideology, which is an indigenous ideology of this hemisphere. It's a philosophy of Indian people. You know, we're kind of up to here with foreign ideologies. You know, they've been suffocating us. We know that today we have many allies who have many different political views. And we have told our brothers and sisters that as long as we have a common enemy, that we can walk parallel paths until liberation and freedom comes to all of us. We won't ask them to become Indians, and we would hope that they would not ask us to subscribe to their philosophies and views. In 1972, we said that unless America was willing to admit its sins against the native people, unless conditions in this country changed so that we could find a way that we could survive in our land, unless the treaties that were made with our people were honored, or at least machinery put in motion through an international treaty commission to honor those treaties. As you know, we have not, many of us, unfortunately many of our people, reduced to poverty, food stamp lines, prisons, police brutality, alcoholism, in some cases drug addiction, that they've begun to believe, after we have been told all these years that that is the Indian way. There are many of us, and particularly the youth of this country, who are saying, no, that is not the Indian way. We are the people of this earth. And that because we are the people of this earth, we have a very big responsibility as the landlords in this part of the universe to protect this sacred earth, not only so that we can survive, but that all mankind in this world can survive. And if you are attempting to put a political label on our struggle, we would tell you to set that aside for now. And you, in your minds, each one of you, ask yourself this question. There are four colors of mankind: red, white, black, and yellow. The black man is asserting his right. The yellow man has asserted his right. The red man is now asserting his right. We ask you to ask yourself the question, is it important that these people, reduced from 12 million 485 years ago to 75 years ago, we were reduced to 225,000. Today, we are once again approximately 1 million. With an infant mortality rate three times that the national average, suicide rates in excess of 10 times the national average, the prison populations of this country, even though we number are less than 0.5% of the national population, are from 30, 40, 50, 60%, that we are surviving somehow. Our struggle is a struggle for survival. The first ecologist in this part of the universe, placed in a balance of nature, as was all mankind one time before one group of them set themselves apart from nature, started to exploit the four-legged, the other living things, finally started to exploit their own two-legged brothers and sisters. These people must ask themselves the question, is it important that these people be allowed to survive? In 1972, when we were quoted just last week, I believe Clarence Kelly, I heard him speaking somewhere, we're kind of beginning to look at Clarence Kelly as a general custer in 1976. He said that some of these terrorists are even going around talking about blowing the candles out on America's birthday cake. Now, we were the only ones that's ever said that. So obviously, he's quoting one of us. Now, when we said that we were going to blow the candles out on America's birthday cake, because those people, seemingly only motivated by violence and terrorism, not only here but throughout the world, had to equate that with some threat that we were going to be blowing up this country. Well, I'll tell you, the most weapon, the most awesome weapon, the strongest weapon that the native people have, and that is what Leonard Krogdaw talked about, that we are the truth, we are the evidence. And we are going to ask every one of you, in this bicentennial year, 1976, we're going to ask each one of you to really examine your conscience. Look back at history. Don't forget, you know, under all these plastic red, white, and blue flags and patriotic slogans that this government was involved in the assassination of leaders throughout the world, that they're probably directly linked, and I ask my black brothers to examine their conscience. They're probably directly linked to the destruction of a great man, a man of peace, Martin Luther King. Now, they tell us, of course, that they didn't, they didn't kill Patrice Lumumba. They didn't kill General Schneider of Chile. They didn't destroy Rafael Trujillo. They didn't kill Allende of Chile. They only put into motion a plan, but they never pulled the trigger. And they want us to believe. They want us to believe that. So we're asking every one of you, in recognizing that the red man does represent the truth. And we're going to be standing side by side with our brothers and sisters across this country. There are thousands of people who want an alternative, who are not going along with this big PR job, this mass hypnosis that's taking place on television. We're asking you to stand with us between now and July 4th, 1976, and with the truth, when America tries to light the candles on that 200th birthday cake, that we are going to snuff those candles out with the strongest weapon in the world, truth. You see, truth, you cannot put it in a jail cell and lock it up. You cannot put Dennis Banks in prison or Leonard Krogdaw in prison and stop the truth. And they can execute each one of us, which they're trying to do. My two of the leaders, my brother Clyde Belcourt, Russell Means, have been shot in conspiracy. And they can destroy each one of us. But the youth are correct, and the youth are going to carry on with the struggle because they represent the truth. I want to ask you a special favor, those of you who have time. We have a brother who is fighting extradition from Vancouver. Leonard Peltier. Leonard Peltier, I'm asking you to write to the Prime Minister of Canada, Sir Elliot Trudeau, telling him that he should not extradite this man into the hands of the FBI, the assassins of this government. And I ask those of you to write to Governor Brown of California and ask them not to extradite Dennis Banks to South Dakota into the hands of the South Dakota State Authority. Because you see, we see South Dakota as the Mississippi of the North for Indian people, as Mississippi was in the civil rights struggle for the black man. And we're asking you to support us that way. I would like to close my comments here by trying to share one thing with you, so that you will have, those of you who have not had a clear understanding of the American Indian Movement. You see, the press has done quite an adequate job. Of course, what the problem we have is we have basically non-Indian society in this country have been kept ignorant through their history books about Indian people and what they stand for. Basically, their grandfathers and grandmothers ingrained in them attitudes about Native people. We refer to it as the cowboy frontier mentality. You know, kids, you know, you seem to make John Wayne movies and grow up with that attitude. But remember, my brother Redshirt talked about the spirituality. It is said that from within, each one of us are cleansing ourselves. Each one of us are purifying ourselves. That many of us have returned to the old traditional religions of our tribes, away from the confused notions of a society that has made us slaves of our own unguided lives. AIM is first a spiritual movement, a religious rebirth, and then the rebirth of dignity and pride. AIM succeeds because it has beliefs to act on. AIM is attempting to connect the realities of the past with the promise of tomorrow. They know that the deepest hopes of the old ones could die with them. They know that the Indian way has not been tolerated in white America because it is not acknowledged as a decent way to be. Sovereignty, land, and culture cannot endure if a people is not left in peace. The American Indian Movement are then the warriors class of this century, bound to the bond of the drum, who vote with their bodies instead of their mouths, their businesses hope. July 4th, 1976, we are going to ask all people who have come to Philadelphia and across this country to stand with us and say that it is time that American society, who we have given everything, it is time for them now to bring about a reconciliation with these red people. Be which.
All of us have learned tonight from those who spoke, and we've gained strength. One of the main objectives of the Native American Solidarity Committee is to get the word out, the word about Native American struggles. Since the takeover of Wounded Knee in 1973, one of the most important tactics of the government in the further repression of Native Americans has been a continuous news blackouts. Some extremely important trials in the political context of this country are about to occur. Past performance has shown that these blackouts will continue around these trials. The Native American Solidarity Committee has begun to make inroads into the news media. This is vitally important. We will further our program to educate and inform the non-Indian communities. We will bring more speakers to Philadelphia. We are asking people to donate whatever they can over on this side, because unfortunately, under this economic system, our struggles are weakened and set back by lack of funds. And this is no accident. Dig deep. Thank you.